Greetings and welcome to this four-part special of the Product Cast with our guest today, MD of the British Allied Trade Federation, Sarah Ward. In part one, we're going to be talking all about the history of the Giftware Association. Part two is all about the association's fantastic response to the C19 pandemic. In part three, we discuss the membership benefits. And in part four, it has to be done, of course, it's all about the Gift of the Year competition, which, as if you need a reminder, entries close on the 11th of December 2020. So hurry up, enjoy the show. Greetings and welcome to the Product Cast, also known as the Prodcast. This is your window into the UK's thriving gift industry, covering everything from product design to sales, retail and beyond. The Prodcast is brought to you by Gift of the Year and it is supported by the Giftware Association. I'm your host, Alex Ryan. I'm a marketing consultant and founder of the agency Marketing 101. Each week, I'll be interviewing an expert from our vibrant, hardworking community. And this week, we've got a very special guest. I'm so pleased to welcome to the microphone Sarah Ward, previous CEO of the Giftware Association and now MD of the British Allied Trade Federation. Welcome, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. Thank you very much for joining and looking excellent, if I may say, in your Britney microphone. Very professional setup there, call center style vibes, looking good.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It does wonders for my hair, but yes, people will be surprised to see me with using technology.
It's great. It looks good and you sound wonderful, which of course is what we need for a podcast. Now, I introduced you as previous CEO of the Giftware Association and now MD of the British Allied Trade Federation, which is a relatively new job title for you. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. So why don't you give us the what do they call it, the lowdown on your current situation?
Of course I can, Alex. Yeah, so many people probably won't have had much of a connection with the British Allied Trades, but actually it's our legal body. So currently the Federation has five trade associations which come under its umbrella. So the easiest way of describing it is probably a Unilever to all the different brands.
Right.
So myself included, obviously a CEO of the Giftware Association and also having the British Travel Goods and Leather Accessories and the Jewellery Distribution Association. We are housed in our office in Birmingham, but within our building, there are a number of other trade associations plus a sort of central services operation that we all share. So the largest of our associations is the National Association of Jewellers. They represent, in the main, retailers who sell beautiful diamonds. And and obviously quite fit that we're our office is in the jewellery quarter.
Yeah, right.
Then we have actually completely different Surface Engineering Association. So they look after, it's not sort of your tarmac and stuff. They support their members who, you know, sort of if you took something like the Bullring and you've got that amazing disced building, they look after companies who, you know, provide finishings or surfaces such as that. So very specific and very different to the other creative associations that we
have.
Yeah,
that's quite a stretch, isn't it, from the jewellery and giftware aspects.
Okay. But Dave and his team, they're very, very strong in sort of governmental connections, you know, a lot to do with climate change, a lot to do with reach. So actually very invaluable for some of the other associations to pull across them and their expertise. Conversely, we also have an international department. So many members of either, say, a Giftware Association or a National Association of Jewellers might be an international member too. So Taryn and her team, they will take companies, you know, to shows abroad, allocate sort of tap funding, work together with anyone that's looking to sort of export. So, of course, they're going to be incredibly valuable to us as we near sort of the Brexit changes and the minefield of doing that. So that's really kind of where my role comes in, because this will be about us using a lot of this resource and expertise much more smarter and, you know, helping each one of the associations to deliver a better service for the future, which is something that we've been working on for a number of years. And, you know, COVID really was the catalyst to, right, to make that change.
It's interesting, actually, you mentioned the international side of what you do. In my time at Paladone, I had several, you know, fantastic experiences with Taryn and the team helping me get into, trade shows overseas, but not just kind of get into them, but, navigate them. You know, it's quite, there's quite a big overwhelm, I think, when you're a you know, a business based in the UK, no experience of overseas trade shows. And, you know, they are run differently. The forms are different. The, you know, everything is different. And, if I remember correctly, actually, you set up a kind of British pavilion, and we just dealt, I think, almost directly with you. We didn't have to get involved at all with the overseas organisers?
No, not at all. So the Department of International Trade, we are effectively accredited body. So Taryn and Laura are able to distribute, and obviously they have to do a huge, I mean, paperwork. I would never want to do, that's for sure. And they work incredibly closely with the DIT and, of course, all the shows across the world. I think that's going to become a more even valuable, and, you know, getting that message out to so many more companies is going to be key over this, you know, coming year.
Well, it was a great service. Absolutely. I mean, you know, every trade show pretty much runs itself differently as it is. So adding in language and geographical kind of barriers as well was very overwhelming. So yeah, it's a great service. Yeah, anyone thinking of kind of you know, tackling those overseas shows, you can do it. The overwhelm can be removed.
Well, it's always sensible to go and have your hand held for the first one. I say to anybody, no matter how big a company you are or anything, use that first, because it's a great opportunity to then, you know, really decide what you want to do as a business yourself independently, you know, Absolutely. In those early stages.
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously it's also the early stages of the British Allied Trade Federation, your role there at least, and this new kind of structure. So let's not dwell too long on that. I think we can come back perhaps in you know, middle of next year, once you've you know, once you've started stirring things up and got an action plan in place with the rest of the team there. Because of course what we're here to talk about today is the Giftware Association Gift of the Year. And how long have you been involved with the Giftware Association?
So it's actually just over 5 years that I've been in post. So, wow. And delighted to say that we've significantly developed Gift of the Year. It was always a huge asset. I know you and I were talking about it before, but people don't realise, you know, how long it's been going. I mean, we're in our 43rd year of Gift of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, Gift of the Year is 43 years old, but the Giftware Association was actually created just after the war. So it's in its 70th, wow. Well, what are we now, 74, 73 years?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wow. That's it. I had no idea that it had been around that length of time. What, I mean, do you want to go into a bit of the history? I'd love to hear about kind of the catalyst for the creation of the association.
I know, actually, these are the sort of things, actually, Alex, I get, it's really sad because I get really excited about this.
No, it's wonderful.
Almost as well. I know where we were sort of talking before. So many people don't know the story. And that's, you know, that's really sad, because we have a huge legacy, and one that we hope will be left for the generations to come. And that's really in a role of being the CEO. That's what we're there to do, is make sure that this absolutely amazing industry thrives and the businesses within it all do well, but also that we're protecting it and developing for all the future, you know, generations to come. You know, people who are going to come into this will be the millennials, and then obviously further. So we want to be around for another 70 odd years to come, hopefully.
Amazing. Well, but, you know, podcasts last forever. So why don't we do a bit today to kind of paint that picture of the beginnings of the GA?
Ah, well, not surprisingly. I mean, our amazing founders were gentlemen who came back from the war. And I think, you know, we all, when you look at history, you don't realize that actually they'd gone away for so long. And of course, the jobs that we know today, that, well, they didn't really exist. So they'd come back to Birmingham to the easiest way of describing it, imagine Peaky Blinders.
Right.
So,
okay.
You're in that sort of environment, huge manufacturing setup, but of course used to be all metal or coal or think, you know, and because I think of probably being away at the war, and we know this from sitting down, I've had the pleasure of sitting with some people who were some of the original creators. Wow. Over lunch, and they wanted to appreciate obviously their loved ones and their home life that bit more, and so they started making more decorative items. So as far as I'm aware, I think the first gift item that was created was a lamp, a beautiful decorative lamp for the home. And there was lots of other jewelry pieces made, etc. And that obviously very quickly took off, and more of the manufacturers started creating more decorative items for mirrors or gifts, things for the home or things for their loved ones to appreciate them. And I think in a very short space of time, they thought, wouldn't this be great? Let's try and sell this. Let's offer this up to the country at large.
Well, there must have been a, you know, good demand for it, I guess, after so many years kind of living, what do they say, you know, living on the breadline, and you know, niceties were not an option, I guess, during wartime.
Oh, completely. So, I mean, everything was rationed, wasn't it? And you weren't going to go out and, you know, buy a gift as we know it today.
Yeah,
are you?
Absolutely.
Things were more important to take care of and stuff. Yeah. So they actually, there is a beautiful book that we've got, and it shows a sort of steam train going to Blackpool from Birmingham to a rather grand hotel, which is where they held the first gift show.
Wow.
So imagine all these wonderful you know, creators of product all in hotel rooms. So you'd open up a door and in would be Alex selling his wares. And I think that probably Chris might have been in the bathroom with a bit of, you know, MDF, you know, with his wares for sale. And so that's what everyone did. The Queen came and opened it.
Wow.
It was incredibly successful. And not to mention, obviously, must have had an amazing feel good, you know, that we've all experienced, you know, at some lovely trade fairs over the years.
Mm.
But they rightly so identified that, you know, going from room to room in a hotel wasn't probably the best way to run a show like that. So they came back to Birmingham to a sort of a venue more fit for purpose, probably like we, you know, would go to a regional trade show today. Yeah. But it very quickly outgrew that. And that really is the life of how the NEC and everywhere started to grow
really?
And be created. Yeah, which is fantastic. So for those that might remember, of our members, there was a exhibition company called TPS set up, and that's what the Giftware Association created. So for those years, right up to, gosh, I don't know, the 80s or what have you, and we then sold that to the exhibition companies you all know and recognize today.
That's fascinating that the NEC was effectively brought about via the kind of early connotation of the Giftware Association. That's stunning.
It probably wasn't entire all of it themselves, but as we all know, you know, Spring Fair is the biggest show that goes on in the UK, and obviously that's got to be housed in a place that can, you know, allow all those wonderful exhibitors to be at. I think the whole sort of probably exhibition convention sort of ethos all grew from those sort of early days.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely stunning. And what a history. And then, so when did it become kind of the GA as we know it today?
Well, it always was from there because it was an association. I think I told you, I mean, its original name was the Fancy Goods Association.
Yes. Yes, you did mention that. How wonderful.
It's just brilliant. I was sad when I rebranded that I couldn't go back to calling it Fancy Goods.
I think that's a great option. I'd love to revert to that. Maybe you can have a new arm called the Fancy Goods department, you know, that just for the fanciest of fancy goods. That'd be lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, so very appropriate in those days, wasn't it? And a lot of incredibly interesting characters that sort of got involved, you know, the Lord, and Lady of sort of, and, you know, they were incredibly passionate about representing their industry, which I hope is some of those behaviours we demonstrate still today.